Good morning. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Anybody thankful for Jesus? Singing that last song, sometimes I feel like we sing words, but as we're singing those words, we're thinking about all the struggles and pressure and anxiety, and we don't realize what we're singing, that Christ really is our living hope. And I, being a guy that enjoys history, and you might not, maybe if you don't like history, you don't know this, but there's been a lot of bad stuff that's happened in our world for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, wars and famines and disease and sickness and countries taking over other countries and racial tension and all this stuff. And it's still going on, but the hope of Christ has continued to spread through the world. The church continues to share the gospel and people continue to get saved because it's true and it's a real living hope. And if you feel stressed this morning, if you can't keep your eyes off the news and it's kind of an addiction almost now that we have to look at that and we have our sides and we have our things that we desire to get angry at other people, it's just kind of all in there. Remember, just stop and remember that Christ is our hope. All this stuff in the world, it's going to be destroyed. And that's what we've been talking about last week, and we're going to talk about again this morning. We as children of God have hope. We have salvation, and our hope is eternal. It is not, it's not just in the stuff of this world. And as believers, we need to have a clear vision. And maybe some of us, our vision has gotten very foggy and unclear lately. And I hope that this morning, as we continue to look at the Sermon on the Mount, that we will see what it means to have a clear vision. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're walking through the entire Sermon on the Mount, passage by passage, sometimes verse by verse, as we continue to look at what did Jesus say. And so last week, we began this section about laying up our treasures in heaven, what it means to truly have and understand what true treasure is. Look at verse 19. So chapter 6, verse 19, this is what we looked at last week. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy and where thieves break in." That's kind of where we were last week, what it means to be focused on earthly treasures versus heavenly treasures. The last verse, the powerful verse that Christ gives us, a very bold and powerful statement in verse 21 of last week, it says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Eternal treasures last forever. Earthly treasures will be destroyed. And so last week we asked ourselves some tough questions to help us get a clearer picture of where our hearts really are. And that's why Jesus gives us verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so what we continue to see in this sermon that Jesus gives is that Jesus truly desires what from us? What does he desire? Our hearts. Okay. That's who we are. I mean, the heart is everything that we are. Christ desires our hearts. And as we begin to look at what earthly treasures are versus eternal heavenly treasures, we see that verse, I mean, this is not talking about salaries. It's not talking about wealth and what a number is on wealth. It's not talking about, he's not giving us a list of what we shouldn't purchase. He's just asking for our hearts. He's like, "I want your heart. I want you to seek after me so that I can guide you in all these other things." And so verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I see it like a mirror. It's like when we look at that verse, it's like we are looking into a mirror and really beginning to kind of understand who we are, because where is our treasures? That's the question that we're asking ourselves, because what we're seeking after, that's where we're going to find who we are. And so the question is this: is our treasure truly our relationship with Jesus Christ? Or Is it a heart for the things of this world? But I want to encourage you, because sometimes that can be when we really look at ourselves, sometimes that gets frustrating, right? We see the sin, we see the stuff and the junk that we're dealing with, the stuff that we're struggling with. But let me encourage you, and I love what this pastor wrote concerning that verse. He said this: if we want to know where the center of our being is, all we have to do is honestly admit where our treasure is. The image we see in this spiritual mirror may be terrifying, and this is the part I like, but the reflection is gracious, for then we can do something about the situation with God's help. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we might look into that mirror and go, oh God, I'm so sorry. But the reflection that we see, Christ in us, is gracious. And we say, in Christ, we can do something about this. We can have victory over that. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation in you. I love that. It comes back. It always comes back to God's incredible, amazing grace on top of grace. And we see areas where our hearts are bent toward the world. But if Christ is your Savior, if you have been saved by his amazing grace, we can turn to Christ. We can seek him, and we can begin to seek first the kingdom of God, to begin to invest in eternal things. And as we move on in this passage, we're going to continue in this section of laying up our treasures in heaven. Christ continues to teach on what it means to have a heart for him. Christ helps us to see what it means to have a true vision for eternal things. And that's what we get to look at this morning. Christ helps us to see what it means to have a true vision for eternal things. All right, look at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 22 through 24. And let me read that to us this morning, starting in verse 22. As we look at this is Christ is using some metaphors here, so it kind of might sound a little bit confusing at first, but we're going to look at it and see what Christ means by this. 22 says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, this message is not about money, okay? But we're going to talk about what that really means, okay? Some people take that last verse out of context and go off on finances and money. This is really not about money. What does Christ want from us? Our heart. Okay, so keep that in mind. And you might be going, what is all this stuff about the eye? Again, remember, this is just continuing on in context with what it means to have a true vision for eternal treasures, what it means to lay up treasures in heaven. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump into this. God, thank you so much for the time to come and worship you, to sing these praises. I know they're songs and they're words, God, but they're words of our heart as we sing to you, thanking you for our salvation in you, thanking you for Christ, thanking you for how much you love us. I pray that, Lord, as we look at your words, these are your words to us as your followers. God, we truly do want to have an unclouded vision, a true vision, a vision that's seeking after the things of God, the kingdom of God, to seek after you, Lord. God, we know that you want our hearts. Help us to see and look into that mirror, to see that gracious reflection, to see those areas that, God, we need to give over to you, or to repent of. God, let us be followers of you that are seeking and investing in eternal treasure. Help us to understand these verses this morning. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So verses 22 and 23, Christ is giving this understanding and this teaching on what it means to have an unclouded vision, an unclouded vision. I think when we're young, how many of you guys consider yourself young? Just raise your hand, be proud. Okay, a lot of you. I think when we're young, we take our healthy eyesight for granted. Anyone take that for granted? Okay, I know I did. I had really good vision, 20/20 vision, until about age 40. And then it was as if my eyes just kind of told my brain, it's like, yeah, that was fun, that was a good run, but I think I'm going to retire now. I didn't expect my eyes to kind of retire at that young, at 40, but they did. And I remember I fought it for a while. I was like, no, I can still see fine. And I did a lot of squinting, and I just remember nighttime was getting a little more difficult to drive. And so I finally went to the eye doctor to get my eyes checked, and then, you know, I've been wearing glasses ever since. And things are way better now. Things are way better unless you forget your glasses or they break or something like that. But things are better because I can see more clearly. But even when we have good eyesight or we have our glasses on, it's so important to be able to see clearly. Have you ever driven in a rainstorm, like a terrible downpour? I remember just a couple of weekends ago, fall break, driving down to southeastern Oklahoma where my wife grew up, driving through it, an incredible, crazy rainstorm, and I could not see the lines on the highway, and I was going as slow as I could, and it was very stressful. When we can't see clearly, it brings anxiety. It brings stress. I think of other illustrations. There's something that we have that we deal with here in Oklahoma. It's called the wind. it's called dirt and dust. Yesterday we were cleaning house, and I noticed coming in the kitchen that the kitchen looked brighter, but it was mainly just because my wife cleaned the windows in the kitchen, and it was like, she's been like, I've been walking by these windows for months now, and I finally went out and just did it. I was like, oh wow, it's like moving from 1080p to 4K, you know. It was just like, wow, this is, look at all the details in this kitchen, you know. Anyway, but when the windows get filthy, it can't let as much light in. It's interesting like that. And so what Christ is calling to us here as we move from last week, laying up treasure in heaven, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Then he gives us these examples, these metaphors. He's called us to have a clear and unclouded vision. Looking in the Bible, we see different verses talking about having a clear vision centered on Christ. You can go back to the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it." Clear vision. Proverbs 29:18, you guys probably know this one. Where there is no prophetic vision, or some translations just where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And here in verses 19 through 24, this section, it's really, as Christ moves on into this section on not even as go farther, like if you look down, you see that section on do not be anxious. That really just continues on with this. What we see is that believers are to have a clear vision concerning the treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. And so in verses 22 through 24, Christ uses these two metaphors. One has to do with our vision, our physical sight, and then at the end he talks about a servant and a master. One demonstrates what a clear vision is, and the other is dark. And so the first one that we're going to look at is this metaphor of sight. Look at verse 22 and 23 again. This might sound confusing, but it's really, really cool. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This metaphor that Christ is using here is actually really simple, but it's really powerful. And I really want you to see it. And there's a really cool thing that we're going to see in a certain Greek word that we're going to look at in just a second. The eye pictured here is like a window through which light is coming through into the body. When the window is clean and the glass is clear, the light that comes in will properly light every part of the room. If the window is dirty, the light will obviously be hindered. We notice that in our kitchen. It is the same in the way the eye works. The condition and health of our eyes determines the quality of light that enters the body. Christ goes on to explain that that our eyes are either, they're either good and they're healthy, letting in light, or they're bad and unhealthy and there's darkness there. And so if we're going to keep this all in context, keep that verse 21. Can you see verse 21 in your Bible? Okay, keep that kind of centered there, okay? If we're going to keep all this in context, go back to verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are we seeking? Are we seeking earthly riches that will be destroyed or eternal treasure that will last? If we're seeking or finding hope or joy in earthly riches, if the stuff of this earth, the status of our lives or the stuff or the prestige or the amount of followers we have or the popularity or the things that we accumulate, if our pleasure and our joy are wrapped up in the things of this earth, this means we have unhealthy eyes. We have a clouded vision. Let me repeat that. If you find your hope, if you find your true joy in stuff, in the amount of stuff you have, or the amount of money you have in the bank, or the job that you have, or if you find all your joy wrapped up in social media and the amount of likes that you get and the amount of comments that you get, if you're finding joy in the stuff that the earth and the world has said brings happiness, if you find all your joy in that, that means you have unhealthy eyes. You have bad eyes. You have what's called a clouded vision. The opposite of that is if our heart is on the things of God, if our joy and our happiness is wrapped up in the ultimate treasure, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, if our heart is on investing in the things of God, if our heart's desire is to invest in the eternal, then we have healthy eyes. And if we have healthy eyes, our whole body will be full of light. But if our eyes are bad, if they're focused on the things of this world, our whole body will be full of darkness. Let's go just a little bit deeper, though. Okay, so let's go deeper here as we look at what Christ means by our eyes. The eye represents our hearts. That's what Christ is talking about. The eye is like who we are. The heart is the eye to the soul. And one thing that we can see as we dig a little deeper into the Greek word for eye here is that in other places this word, actually in the word good, healthy, the word that Scripture uses, other Greek words similar to this word in Scripture actually denotes the meaning of generosity. And I think that's really cool. When you look at the Greek word here for healthy eyes, and then you look at other places that word is used in Scripture, it brings the idea of generosity. I think that's kind of cool. Doesn't that make sense with this passage? So the implication here is that if our heart, which is represented by the eye, is generous, our spiritual lives will be flooded with light. And I think that makes sense as Christ is talking about treasure and money and worldly versus eternal things. If our spiritual lives, if our hearts are healthy, then we are generous. That seems right? If we are focused on Christ, we're focused on eternal treasures, if our hearts are healthy and following Christ, then the fruit of that is going to be we are going to be generous. That's the fruit of a changed heart. This is the fruit from a heart that's seeking the Lord. But if our heart is diseased or damaged, if it is unhealthy, then our hearts are hindered. That's just basic spiritual walk 101. If we're seeking the Lord, we're going to see fruit in our lives. If we're not seeking the Lord, there's not going to be fruit there. And what we see in Scripture is that when we are seeking the Lord, we are generous with our gifts, with our stuff, with our time. And in the context of these verses, when our heart is seeking after materialism or the treasures of this world, then our eyes are hindered to the light of Christ. Let me repeat that. If we are seeking after stuff of this world, material things, then our eyes are going to be hindered to the light of Christ. that it just makes sense. Materialism shuts out the light of Christ. Just look at Scripture. You remember Jacob and Esau? That's an example. As they sought after things that were not of God. We look at King Solomon later in his life. We saw how that affected his walk with God. We see it in the New Testament as Paul talks about his good friend Demas in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. He says, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me." He took his eyes off Christ and put his eyes on the world and then just walked away from the service and what he was doing with Paul. Okay, but let me stop and let me give you a little reminder, okay? Let me pause. Let's not take these verses out of context. Jesus, here in this passage, is not telling us what our salaries should be. He's not. He's not telling us that even all our salaries should be equal to each other. He's not saying anything about that. He's not saying that you can't own a house. He's not saying that you can't own a car. He's not telling you, he's not giving you a list of, okay, here's the things, if you really are a follower of me, then here's the things you will buy, and here's the things you won't buy. Do you see that anywhere in this? No. He's not saying that you can't have a hobby and spend time with your kids doing something, to go on a vacation and invest in your family, to take your wife somewhere on a date or a trip. He is not saying that being wealthy is wrong. Do we see this? God is not saying that here. What he's saying is, look in the mirror to see where your heart is. In fact, if you have an unclouded vision, a clear vision of eternal things, and your heart is investing in eternal things, and you are wealthy, God is going to use you in mighty ways. He's going to use you. And I've seen that 30 years of ministry. I've seen how people that truly are seeking after the Lord and God has blessed them in mighty ways, all that they've done to help people in the church and to send missionaries and the things that we never see behind the scenes. For an unclouded vision allows the light of Christ to pour into our soul and then guide us to be used by the Lord. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. To look at our lives and go, thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. God, help me to have an unclouded vision so that you can use me. Use me however you need me to be used. But the opposite of that, here's what happens with a clouded vision. Okay, so let's take the opposite. And if we are seeking after the stuff of this world, if our joy is wrapped up in the stuff and the materialistic things of this world and we're seeking prestige and seeking position and seeking dollar figures and all this stuff, if we have a clouded vision, an unhealthy eyesight, this will affect our spiritual lives in a negative way. It's just the way it is. So let me give you some effects of a selfish and materialistic heart. I think no matter how much we struggle, we know that we probably struggle here at some point. It's hard not to, living in the culture that we live in, because it's just constant, like, here's what will make you happy. But here are some of the negative effects of a life that is selfish and materialistic. First one is this: an ungenerous spirit or an ungenerous health clouds the way that we look at life in general. When the things of this world are our focus, then we start believing that we cannot be happy without them. That's just the general first thing. An unhealthy spirit, a clouded vision, it shapes the way we look at everything. Another effect would be this: an ungenerous spirit or an ungenerous health of our eyes clouds our vision of what true success is. Because many people in the world will tell you that success is defined by financial terms. And many people start believing this lie, and they feel that they are failure when they don't make as much as the other people around them. It clouds our vision of what true success is. A third thing would be an ungenerous spirit clouds our vision of others' worth. Because if we look at ourselves with an unhealthy way and looking for status and looking, and we define success in a way that's of the world, we begin to judge others in that same way. And we look at their worth based on how we view our own worth. Another way that it affects us, an ungenerous, and this is a big one if you're a parent. An ungenerous spirit, an ungenerous health, a clouded vision keeps us from having a healthy vision for our children's lives. That's tough. What do you desire for your children? Is it to be a follower of Jesus and to serve him, or is it, I hope they have a bigger house than I do. I hope they have a better job than I did. I've seen this time and time again. I saw this in youth ministry when I was a youth minister. The child, the teenager that feels the call to ministry, and the two people that should be the cheering squad of them as believers, they go to their parents and they almost just shut it down. It's like, are you sure about that? No, you don't really want to go overseas. That would be dangerous, and you would have nothing. I mean, I've seen it. What if your child came to you? What if your teenager came to you and said, I am called to the mission field? Would you be excited for them, or would you try to talk them out of it? Where is your vision? Is it clouded, or is it healthy? Guys, let me just tell you, and this might scare some of your parents, but I am praying desperately that God will call children and teenagers to the ministry. I went through a time and where I saw kids coming down the aisle and kids going to camp and following the Lord, and just, you know, 20 years ago, and I haven't seen that in a while. And so I'm desperately praying that God would call some people, and it's going to be scary. It's going to be dangerous. And there's not a lot of money in ministry. But we need people. We need pastors. We need missionaries. We need people to say, I'm willing. I feel the call of the Lord on my heart. I prayed for that as we went to camp this summer, and it's amazing. Other people are praying for that too. And there were hundreds of students that went down surrendering to a call of ministry. Maybe you are feeling that. Parents, are we here ready to encourage our children? What a great service this is to go and serve the Lord. But an unhealthy eyesight clouds the way we view our own children's success in their lives. The fifth thing is this. An ungenerous spirit also distorts our vision of God's will for our own lives. We selfishly sometimes assume that God would never lead us onto a path to make less money or to lower our status and position just to follow what God's calling us to do. That's not the way we do it in America, right? We have a pattern. But we get unhealthy because we start looking at the world and not through God's eyes and not through Christ, and we would think, well, he would never do that. But what if he does? And then finally, a selfish spirit, an unhealthy eyesight, clouds our ability to understand and be transformed by God's word. That's big. If we come into our Bible studies with this kind of worldly clouded vision, we gloss over things that are hard. We gloss over those things that call us to something that's different than the world. A selfish and ungenerous spirit darkens our lives. And that's what Christ is saying as he looks at this metaphor of our eyesight. If your eyes are healthy, if they're generous, if they're spiritually seeking the Lord, there is light that comes in. And then there's fruit that we bear, good fruit. But if we have clouded vision, it's dark and our lives are darkened. It hinders the light of Christ in our lives. And sadly, due to the culture that we live in, there are many believers who struggle constantly with materialism. We struggle with it. And maybe that brings conviction. Go back to the mirror. Remember, there's a gracious reflection of Christ that we can go to find victory in these areas. But the bright side of this is that if our eyes are good, if they are healthy, if you are fighting daily against holding tightly to the things of this world, if you are looking in that mirror and you are receiving that gracious reflection of Christ's help and guidance in this area, then the light of Christ shines in us. God's word is revealed to us. We reflect the light of Christ, and then we get to be the light of the world. It's Christ in us, but we get to be used. We get to be that city on a hill that is shining brightly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is where Christ leaves us in verse 24. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What Christ is saying here is what really is the foundation of our choosing? What is our heart? We look in the mirror, where is our treasure? Is it in the stuff of this world or is it in eternal things? Because that, how we respond to verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, how we respond to that is gonna be how we respond to that fundamental choice between the two masters, God or money or the stuff of this earth. And again, look at this verse. We need to be reminded that money itself is not the issue, because money is not alive. Money has no soul. There is no inherent evil or inherent good in money. It's just there. The questions of right and wrong have nothing to do with money itself. The question concerns our heart. The question is what the reflection is in the mirror as we look at it, we look hard at verse 21, and how do we respond to this verse? Because how we respond to verse 21 determines which master we are serving, God or money, God or stuff, God or status. The question of right and wrong, it has nothing to do with how we use the things. It has everything to do with how we use what God has given us, the stuff and the gifts that we have and the money that God has given us. This does not mean this verse does not tell us to go sell everything and not provide for our family. These verses, don't look at them and go, well, this is some list of what I can't buy anymore, what I should buy anymore. This is not about that. It simply comes back to the heart. And when you have much, and you turn to Christ and you seek after him, God's going to use you. God's going to use you. And that's what's so cool, is I've seen people be used. I've seen people do things that no one else sees. But when our hearts are wrong, we walk around being jealous of people that have what we think is more. And we begin to judge others by what they have or they don't have. I saw this firsthand, and you might be shocked, but I saw this firsthand in seminary, in a class. Yeah, I know, it was a bunch of pastors. But there's a youth minister that was in one of my, it was a missions class, and he pulled up in a Lexus. What? Youth minister? In a Lexus? You would have thought people would be like, hey, cool car, man. But it wasn't that. It was like this behind the scenes, like all these pastors, like, I wonder what he makes. What he's making at his church. He must have a really good salary. And it became this like junior high, weird, awkward, like gossipy kind of thing as everyone was judging this guy who had a car. And it just was like a window to our mindset of how we view other people. And how we think we don't have something or whatever. And it was a great day. And I sat by this guy, and I knew the story, but it came time for a question to be answered, and he was going to give the answer, and he raised his hand. But before he answered, he said, "Just so everybody knows, a widow in our church gave me this car because our family needed a car, and so she gave me her late husband's Lexus." And then he went on to answer the question, and everybody just kind of went. It doesn't matter how much we make. We can make more than we could ever imagine or what we could ever think is imaginable and be selfish and covetous. We can make nothing and be selfish. We can also make a fortune and be incredibly generous. Or we can make hardly anything and be incredibly generous, like the widow's might. The question is, what? Our heart. As we look in the mirror, where does our treasure lie? Because if you continue to seek after the stuff of this world, you're going to continue to be disappointed. If you are looking for the stuff and money and finances and salaries and cars and things to bring joy, you're just going to continue to be anxious, which next is this passage on do not worry. I mean, it just flows right through, doesn't it? But if you find your hope and your trust and your joy and your peace and your happiness in Christ, that's you're going to find true hope. Do you know what the greatest gift ever given was? It's Jesus, right? It's the Son of God. God gave us this gift out of his divine love and grace. You guys know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he loved us so much that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That's hope. That's joy. That's eternal salvation. And so the question first is this: have you received the greatest treasure, the greatest gift ever in a relationship with Jesus? Because that is better than any treasure this world could ever offer. The gift of eternal life. Trust him today and receive the gift of salvation. Receive the treasure of being adopted into the family of God. That's where you're going to find true hope. Because all this other stuff is going to be destroyed, moth and rust and all that stuff. You cannot fill your coffin with the things of this earth to find happiness. It's all going to be destroyed. Do you know Jesus? Eternal life in Christ. For the believer, for those of you that know Jesus, look in the mirror at verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So find out where your treasure lies, because there you're going to find out who you really are. If it's cloudy, receive that gracious gift of Christ's help. Seek after him. Pray for that unclouded vision and see what amazing things God's going to do in your life. See how he's going to bring down the worry, take away the depression, take away the anxiety that we deal with, always looking for the world to bring us hope. Pray for that clear vision. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for this sermon that you gave to your followers, to us. Thank you for reminding us where true joy is and true hope is, and that's in a relationship with you. And then as we follow you, God, thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Thank you, God, we just want to be used by you. We want to have that unclouded vision of seeking eternal things, investing in eternal things. God, let us be grateful for the blessings. And we pray that you would bless us so that we can bless others and bless missionaries and bless people that you lead us to help, God. Let us not be so just holding on so tightly to our stuff. Let us look into that mirror and see where our heart truly lies. God, we desire it to be seeking you. God, help us to receive that help and the guidance of the Holy Spirit as you guide us to seek first the kingdom of God. God, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. Work in our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.